Good morning to everybody, and yes, a very big welcome to you all to Lawn Community Church. A special welcome to anyone visiting us for the first time today. It's great to have you among us, and as part of our current teaching theme, we'll be looking at the fifth book of the New Testament, the book of Acts, or the book of the Acts of the Apostles, as it's also known. And in the next few minutes, we'll look at how, following Jesus giving his great commission to his disciples, we'll look at how one of the 12 does actually preach to some Gentiles for the very first time, the very first recorded time. We'll remind ourselves of the good news that was proclaimed that day and ever since, and we'll briefly look at what it means for you and for me. Firstly, some pop lyrics. As Annie Lennox once sang, "Sweet dreams are made of this. Who am I to disagree? I've travelled the world and the seven seas. Everybody's looking for something. I've travelled the world and the seven seas. Everybody's looking for something." Of course, that was the Eurythmics and "Sweet Dreams Are Made of This." Some words from Jesus. "You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear it sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. You cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." That's from the Gospel according to John in chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. We need revelation to know the truth. The facts will only get us so far. Our own strength will only get us so far. As it says in Proverbs, without a vision, the people perish. Without a vision, the people perish. I'm not sure it's the first time that I ever received a vision, but it's certainly the first time I can remember receiving one. And it was such a profound moment in my life that I would say it was the most defining time, and will always be the most defining moment in my life. Friday the 26th of February 1988. Yes, Friday the 26th of February 1988. I was in my very first job at school. I hadn't long left school. And back in them days, you could leave school at the age of 16. And I was in my very first job, just a little while into my first job. And I was working for Her Majesty's Customs and Excise, as we were known back then. And I was at a desk in a big office block, the biggest building in Essex, in Southend-on-Sea. When I came back from lunch that Friday afternoon, and at the time I was a very sullen, very miserable person. In recent years I'd been on the fringes of trouble on the terraces. Although now I'd left school and I was working my first job, I was a very sullen, miserable, aggressive person. I came back from lunch, I sat down at my desk, I got working again in complete silence because I could often go a whole day at work willfully without speaking to anyone. When it happened, sat at my desk, my mind was taken on to the person of Jesus and the subject of God. And at that moment, and I can picture it now, I can picture it to this day, at that moment I became completely aware of the presence of the living God. The presence of the living God. I hadn't found him. He had always been there. And I can picture it now. The scales were falling from my eyes. It felt like that. As I sat there and I realised the living God was right there with me. And he had always been there. And that encounter with God Almighty, for me, lasted all afternoon. It was a revelation that began to unfold before my very eyes as I sat at my desk that Friday afternoon. And for me, it was so powerful and so dramatic, and yet so gentle and so peaceful, that I walked out of that building knowing that life would never be the same again. And it wasn't. My life turned on that afternoon, and that experience and that vision of the living God at my desk at work. Thank you, Lord. That was my experience over 30 years ago. And where we're currently up to with the book of Acts shows that Cornelius had also had a vision of and had an encounter with the same living God in connection with a man called Simon Peter. And it will soon lead to the greatest day of his life. Who was Cornelius? Amen, Duncan. Amen. As Duncan has just said, he was a centurion in the Roman army at the time. And the despised Roman army was the occupying force in Israel back then, as the Jews knew all too well. And Cornelius was based at Caesarea, the prominent seaport on the coast, which happened to be the Roman capital of Palestine at the time. Jerusalem was still regarded by the Jews as the capital of Israel back then, but Caesarea was the secular capital of the occupied territories where Cornelius, the Roman centurion, was based. And in the midst of all of this, perhaps despite all this, Cornelius had found favour in God's eyes, and Cornelius and his family were to receive the gospel of Jesus in a way that accords with what the Old Testament prophets had spoken. That the Gentiles, not just the Jews, but also the Gentiles, would be offered God's grace, God's forgiveness, God's Holy Spirit. Cornelius, as it says in Acts chapter 10 and verse 2, was a devout, God-fearing Gentile who gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. And one day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he was blessed to have a vision of an angel of the Lord. And it wasn't that Cornelius deserved to have such a visitation, but the Lord knew that Cornelius would be open to such a visitation and to what was going to come from him. And the Lord tells Cornelius to send some of his men to another coastal town called Joppa to find a man called Simon Peter. And as you might know, Joppa was 40 miles northwest of Jerusalem and another seaport famous amongst the Jews. I think these days Joppa is known as Jaffa, I believe. And Peter, Simon Peter and a few others with him travel to Caesarea. And Cornelius is about to have perhaps the greatest, most profound day of his life. And we're going to take up the story now. Fiona is going to read to us our first reading. If you have your Bibles with you, please do turn to the book of Acts. And chapter 10 of the book of Acts, chapter 10 beginning at verse 23. And I'm very grateful to Ruth that the words are going to be appearing on the screen overhead. But if you've got your own Bibles, Acts chapter 10,
verse 23, and I'm going to ask Fiona to come up and read to us, beginning from verse 23.
The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So that when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "Three days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 p.m. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea.' So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us."
Thank you, Fiona. As we read, Cornelius gets to be visited by Simon Peter, the man from his recent vision. Now, there in the flesh, right in front of him, Cornelius fell at Peter's feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up and refused to accept any worship from Cornelius. Peter points out that he's only a man, after all, not a god. Peter asks why he's been sent for. After all, this is already an outrageous visit, because Jews were not supposed to visit or mix with Gentiles in any way, and certainly not mix with a Roman oppressor like Cornelius. Yet that's what Peter's been commanded to do in a vision from God. Peter asks why he's been sent for. In reply, Cornelius himself describes a vision that he's had from God, which described a man called Simon Peter. Now, I wonder how amazed Peter was when he heard that at that moment. I wonder how amazed Peter was at Cornelius's vision of him. And clearly at that moment, Cornelius really was taking it profoundly seriously. So much so that everybody important in his life had gathered there to meet and to hear this Peter, this Simon Peter. And what they hear will profoundly impact upon their lives. Straight away, I'm going to ask Fiona to take up the story again. And yes, if you've got your Bibles there, we're still in Acts chapter 10, but we're going to continue with the story from verse 34. And again, the words should appear on the screen overhead. Thank you, Fiona.
Then Peter began to speak. "I now realise how true it is that God does not show favouritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking those words, the Holy Spirit came upon all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come to Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they had heard them speaking in tongues and praising God.
Thank you, Fiona. It seems that this was a momentous moment. Peter had gone all the way there, and what was he going to say? At that moment, they were probably all waiting for him with bated breath. And what does Peter tell them? Peter tells them that actually, you already knew the truth. You know who this God is. Peter said to them, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Peter then said, you know what has happened throughout Judea. Cornelius and his family believed in God by faith, even though they happened to be unclean by Jewish logic of the time. Peter is now telling them that what they knew was right, is right, and that he will now put it into focus for them. Peter goes on to tell them that what they had heard about John the Baptist preaching a baptism of repentance is true. That what they heard about Jesus' sacrifice upon the cross is true. As Peter said in verse 43, all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Peter told them the good news, and it seems that Cornelius and family were already not that far from the kingdom. They knew. Peter told them that what they were seeking in life was right there in the person of Jesus, God in human form, right there with them. Just like he's right with us now, today. And what we read about in the Bible, I present to you right now as being true. As being true. I don't know where you stand at the moment in relation to God's call on your life. Maybe you haven't heard from God for quite a while, but still believe in him. Maybe you feel as if you've never really heard from God and you're hanging on to faith by your fingertips. Keeping with the spirit of what Peter told Cornelius and his family 2,000 years ago, that all that you've heard, all that you've heard about life and death, about Jesus, God, everything you've heard, I can tell you, is true. Just like Peter said to Cornelius and his family, it's true. And today, all that you've heard about The Bible, about Jesus, about God, is true. It's true. The thing that you've invested all this time and energy and commitment in is true. It might not feel like it at the moment. You might be doubting it at the moment. But it's true. You haven't made a mistake. You haven't imagined it. I want you to know that you're not imagining this. If you have repented of your sins before God, then you have complete forgiveness in your life. You are forgiven. I want you to know that the God who made you, the God who made the heavens and the earth, really does love you. And that what you've heard about God's love for you is true. Is true. Yes, the living God, the God Almighty, who made the heavens and the earth, loves you and has great plans for your life. It might not feel like it at the moment. It might not seem like it. But it's true.
In the years that followed after the 26th of February 1988, I've had many great moments with the Lord and with church as well. And one or two of the highlights of my life have been spent in the company of another Baptist minister called the Reverend Tony Campolo. Hands up if you've been aware of Tony Campolo or heard him preach, the American Baptist minister. Thank you very much. Quite a few hands going up. Thank you very much indeed. Well, Fiona and I, not long after we got married in 2005, had the privilege of actually hosting him in Southend for a weekend. And then a couple of years later, actually hired the Odeon Cinema in Southend. We brought Tony Campolo over and he spoke to a packed Odeon Cinema that night. And it was on one of those visits that Tony Campolo shared with me about how once, along with other Baptist ministers, he'd actually gone on a missionary trip to the Far East. And one day these Baptist ministers were actually taken to a Buddhist monastery. A Buddhist monastery. And Tony Campolo went in there and he met some of these Buddhist monks. And he got chatting to one of them. He got chatting to this Buddhist monk about his life, his daily routines as a monk, that sort of thing. And this monk kept telling him about how every day in his prayers, this person comes to him. This person comes to him. And he doesn't know who this person is. And Tony Campolo said, well, what happens when he comes to you? And he said, it's like a warm feeling that embraces me. And he shows me the scars in the palms of his hands. And through a translator, he talked about how this man keeps saying how much he loves him and how he was prepared to die for him. And Tony Campolo, through the translator, said to this Buddhist monk, well, that person that you encounter every day, his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And this Buddhist monk had never heard of Jesus, but he had still been able to encounter him in all sorts of prayers and visions and pictures. And through the translator, the monk said to all these Baptist ministers, right, his name is Jesus. I'll talk to him using that name, the name of Jesus.
At the time of our reading, or perhaps shortly before the incidents that took place in our reading, Jesus had recently commissioned his disciples on Mount Zion to go into all the worlds and to make disciples of all the nations. And in our reading we learn how Peter became the first disciple to intentionally go to the nations and to preach the gospel to the world. And Cornelius and his wider household, it appears, were the very first Gentiles in the nations to hear the gospel deliberately preached to them. This is outside of Israel. It's the greatest story ever told. It's the story of how a loving God can return to his fallen world and to begin the process of redeeming it. And redeeming human beings, redeeming the souls of human beings as part of that process of redemption. Offering to everybody the gift of forgiveness and new life, new birth, redemption, salvation. He offers all of this as a free gift to every one of us now. Don't turn your backs on it. It's true. Do accept it as a gift. Like any gift, it has to be received and accepted. If you haven't already done so, please accept the gift of Jesus, his gospel, his salvation, his grace into your life. Amen.